I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Music Nomad. Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 40 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. Whether changing strings, setting up your guitar, or detailing every inch of your gear, Music Nomad products are designed and engineered to be best in class. From top to bottom, each product is so well thought out, and it's clear their passion for guitar care is unmatched. With over 75 industry-leading products, it's hard to talk about them all, but some of the favorites are the 100% natural fretboard oil that cleans and conditions your fingerboard like no other. Their Guitar Tech tool sets can adjust just about everything on a guitar, string-changing tools that make changing strings a breeze and actually fun. And last but not least, they demystified the guitar setup process by developing their new innovative Keep It Simple setup, aka KISS, for guitar setups. Make sure you check out what all the buzz is around Music Nomad, as they are truly redefining and raising the bar in equipment care. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com or follow them on social media at Music Nomad Care. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe.
And Naomi McLeod.
Hi, Jay.
What? God damn it.
I tell you what, Joe, I'm very, very, very glad to be back in my chair at the back of the room.
Supportive role.
Watching the football on my iPad and not really paying attention to what else is going on. So thanks for coming back. Appreciate it.
That is good. I am happy to be back. I'm very, very glad to be back. It's been, was it like 2 weeks I took off again?
I think it was like a month.
Well, yeah, I've been on and off, haven't I? But I'm very glad to be back, you know, back hosting the podcast.
Hosting with the mosting. I guess because we did the episode that was a quiz. Yeah, I don't know. Feels like both forever and also like nothing has ever changed. So, yes,
indeed.
You know, I guess that's your dulcet tones just lulling me back into the everyday misery of
my life. Thank you.
Time has been elastic in your absence, Joe, but we welcome you back.
Oh, yes, nice. That's a much nicer thing than I said.
I'm a poet.
Good. It was good. And thank you to all the listeners in the Facebook community for your very lovely posts on the Guitar Nerds group when I explained what was going on and why I'd been off the podcast. You were all absolutely wonderful, and you make doing this an absolute pleasure. So thanks, everyone.
I thought you were going to tell the truth. Absolute chore.
An absolute chore, yes. Yeah. No, it's you're a wonderful community, so thank you, dear listener. You make doing this a breeze. But yeah, as I say, it is good to be back. We've got some cool things to talk about. I mean, I keep getting stuff and buying things whilst I'm not on podcasts. And of course, you guys have all got new gear whilst you've been away, which has been quite fun. With you, a couple of weeks ago when I was on the podcast, I was talking about Trent guitars, because I think...
I'd like got an email from Trent Guitars just before we did the podcast. So we spoke about them. We were like, oh yeah, these guitars are really cool. And dear listener, you have to check them out. It's TrentGuitars.com. If you didn't the last time, a lovely sort of gorgeous retro, very simple retro custom shop. Just one lovely kind of offset sort of 50s-ish styled modern retro body shape. Completely vegan guitars. The idea is that they're made, you know, with all the attention to the planet that you could possibly want. And they've got a kind of a variety of finishes, pickup options, lovely pickups. I think it's the Creamery that Trent Guitars have their pickup source from, which, you know, I've got a lot of time for. And of course, Matt was very excited about the fact that on the front page of their website, there is their Model 1 with in a shell pink, which was very, very lovely. But yes, Trent Guitars, we did speak to them and they sent us through a guitar, a very nice version of their Model 1 in a gorgeous like mahogany finish with like the paint is, you know, you've got all the grain coming through the finish. It's absolutely gorgeous. Two P90s, and it's that sort of TV yellow finish, rosewood neck. The back of the neck is that, you know, when you get like a vintage gloss neck that's been rubbed down, so it's got that sort of satin feel. Ooh. But not like a modern satin feel. It's somehow smoother and more lovely. But it is very nice. And all of the custom shops, like they start at like £965, which is...
Yeah, it's very reasonable. It's very, very reasonable.
Yeah, exactly. Very reasonably priced, very gorgeous looking. So I got to spend a little bit of time with the Model 1 that we've got today. And, you know, I will say I thought it was absolutely fantastic. The P90s had like tons of clarity, really versatile sounding as you'd want. Simple volume tone, three-way pickup selector. Like everything about it's simple. So it's hard to sort of go into, you know, much more depth than, yeah, it sounded really good. But I thought the build quality, the neck profile, the feel of the guitar. If the guitar had been £2,000, I'd be saying, yeah, this is great value for money at a custom shop level. And the fact is it's sub, or can be sub £1,000, depending on, you know, what specs you go for.
Just a slight correction for you there, Joe. They're not Creamery pickups. The Model 1 Debut, which is the entry-level one, uses Iron Gear pickups.
Which are the bare knuckle. They're the sort of budget bare knuckle.
Are they bare knuckles, those?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought.
Yeah, maybe you're right, actually. Yeah, maybe I'm just... Yeah, And then... No, Iron Gear are another brand. Iron Gear, another brand. Oh my God, this is really something we shouldn't be doing. Iron Gear, another brand. Yeah, Iron Gear are not bare knuckle. Bare knuckle are not Iron Gear.
What was it the bare knuckle called their entry level pickups then? Does anyone know?
Bare knuckle have another option for the pickup on that entry level model, which is the Old Guard.
Ah, right.
Okay. Is that different again?
It's boot that's camp. On the yeah. Boot that's camp on... is what the bare knuckle entry level versions were. Damn it!
Didn't happen when I was hosting, did it, Naomi? Everything was factually correct at the first hurdle.
You're dead right, Jay. It was great. It wasn't chaos at all. Jay wasn't reading off an incredibly prepared script at all, Joe.
What are you talking about? No,
it was exactly. You know what? It was a supernatural experience, actually.
100%. That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is good. Yeah, the Trent guitars are really, really good. Dear listener, I thoroughly recommend checking them out. I'm going to try and get this over to you, Jay, when I pop into Brighton later this week, just for you to have a go on. Spread the love so you can check out just how good this guitar is. But yeah, I thoroughly recommend checking it out. How have you been getting on with your bass six?
Yeah, really good. Sounds wicked. It's really funny. We talked about it briefly last week or the week before, whenever it was. And I had all of these intentions to try it out. Since I've had it, I've been like, right, I'm going to like stick loads of delay through it, loads of reverbs, do all this weird. But actually, I've just been playing it, just plugged into the super reverb, just a bit of reverb on the amp, And it just sounds really good. It sounds really good. And what's really interesting actually is because it is a, you know, still a very familiar instrument in that it's still a six string guitar strung E to E. I've been playing it and then going, huh, that sounds good. That sounds different to what I'm used to. And then I'll go and pick up my Strat or whatever and play what I've just been playing on the basics. And it's given me a bit of a new kind of, I don't know. It's just, I found it very inspiring playing it. And I've come up with some, you know, I've learned another chord. I now know how to play D. which is cool, and I learned that on the basics. So it's been it's really cool. You know, it's like I always say, you should try and just play what inspires you. And I've been really inspired by the basics and have moved over a lot of the stuff I've been playing onto the electric guitar, and I've just had loads of fun with it. It's really, really cool. You know, I'm never going to be in a band where I play basics. That's never going to be the sort of thing that I'm going to be into. But just for having something that sounds different to play around with at home, it's really cool and really fun, and I absolutely love it. So yeah,
really,
big fan.
Really well paired with the Tone Master as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because the Super Reverb is a 410. So, you know, that works from kind of the tonal range of what you would expect from a bass anyway. And it's really controllable, and I can turn it down and it sounds really good. So I've been absolutely loving it. Really, 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 really loving it. But I've also just been playing it unplugged a lot. Like, it's just next to my desk here, and if ever I have a few minutes before a meeting or something, I'll just pick it up and play that. And I love it. It's one of the best things I've bought in ages, so big fan.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people seem to say that their creative spark is kind of reignited when they go baritone or go bass six for the first time.
Yeah, it's just it's an interesting different way to. It's a great halfway house in between bass and guitar, and I imagine, yeah, it does make you kind of creative in different ways. Like I certainly find that when I play fretless, and it's kind of that same thing as
all right, UJ, mate. I thought we're having a serious conversation here.
Joe, please carry on. I'm interested, Jay.
I will try. But it's kind of this, you know, the same thing as when you play the basics and then you go and move that onto the Strat, because mm-hmm. playing on the basics was unfamiliar and it made you think to do something you wouldn't otherwise do. And you then go and play it on a normal guitar and you're like, oh, great, you know, that sounds great. That's something I can take on that and move on to the other. And it feels much easier to do.
Completely.
I find that with the fretless, in that, like, fretlesses are harder to play. And then every mm-hmm. time I pick up a fretted bass, I feel like 10 times the bass player I was, you know, and it helps with that sort of creativity.
No, yeah. you're completely right, because, like, I can't play power chords on the basics. You know, I mean, you can if you want to, but it doesn't...
They don't sound good.
It doesn't sound very good. Like, unless you're playing it very, very slowly and you've got lots of drive there and what you're trying to do is something deliberately kind of almost comically heavy, you can do that. But you can't, you know, I can't play Basket Case on the bass six, can I? You know, it's... And seeing as that's the only song I've ever learned, I've had to learn how to play other stuff. And it's been really interesting.
Yeah, well, I think it pushes you to refine if you're coming to it from either side, either from the bass or the guitar side. I think you're pushed to kind of refine things. So power chords being a perfect example, like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes a guitarist perhaps coming to bass for the first time will try and sort of shoehorn chordal playing into bass before. It's a little bit like running before you can walk. Like, there's a fine art to kind of playing not only to the song but to the instrument, I guess. Yeah, and it's something I really like about bass six. Anytime I have played one, I must pick one up at some point.
Guitar Nerds is teaming up with Positive Grid to give one lucky listener their very own Spark Smart amplifier. Visit positivegrid.com/guitar nerds. It's super simple, and you could be the owner of one of the most fun and feature-packed amps I've ever played. Spark is a comprehensive solution for home jamming, learning, and recording for electric, acoustic, or bass. You can play and practice with millions of songs and access to over 10,000 tones, powered by Positive Grid's Bias Tone Engine. Spark features a smart and intuitive range of rotary controls on the amp itself, but really comes to life when used alongside its companion app for iOS or Android. It's so well laid out. Straight out of the box, I was able to tailor my tone with a bunch of amp models and a comprehensive range of effects. There's no learning curve here or complex interface, just tons of tones straight off the bat. I love the Smart Jam feature. Play a looping riff on Spark and the amp and accompanying app work together to learn your riffs, then generate authentic bass and drums to accompany you. Perfect for making just jamming around more interesting and fun. Auto Chords is another banger. Import your music from YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music, and the Spark app will auto-display its guitar chords in real time as you play. Easy controls let you slow down the song's tempo or loop difficult sections as you master playing it. On top of all of this, you can use the Spark as an interface. USB directly into your computer and access all the Spark tones, amp models, and effects for recording. All of this for only $299. Visit positivegrid.com/guitar nerds, enter to win a Spark, and check out all its incredible features.
Yeah, wow. It's really fun. It's really fun. It's really cool. And I've had a really good time messing about with it. And like I say, I mean, I don't think I'll ever, I can't imagine I'll ever play bass six in a band, but you know, who knows? Who knows? It's a lot of fun.
Yes. Awesome. Never say never.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can't wait for mine to turn up, or my and Matt's. We went halves on one of the pink bass sixes, but ours keeps getting delayed. So we haven't got ours yet. And there's Jay Cross with his. God damn it.
Swanning around. Is yours pink as well, Jay?
Yeah. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, mine's actually the one that was for Joe. I just had it redirected to my house. I got in touch with UPS and I was like, hello, my name is Mr. Branton. and somehow they believed me and they just sent it to me. So, Joe, you're actually not getting one, to be honest with you, mate.
Great. It was actually shortly before you received yours that I got an email saying that mine was delayed. So
yeah, I know. Exactly. Perfect. They're all in on it.
It all adds up.
I thought for a while about getting the Schecter Robert Smith UltraCure 6.
Yeah.
Because A, you can get it in Silverburst, which is, you know, fast becoming my sort of favorite finish, and it's hard to get things in Silverburst. But also, you know, just cool to have a basics that is something a little bit different, I guess. But downside is they are about 1,300 British pounds.
Yes, they are. They're not cheap.
And I think at that point, like, you've got to be very committed to the bass six as an instrument. I mean, it looks fantastic. Like, it's that weird oversized sort of weird body shape that Schecter do for, you know, for the Cure in their range, in the Ultra series. But lovely, like, rosewood neck and big block inlays and a black head stock with a 2x4, a 2 and then 4 tuning heads. It's just extremely cool looking, the Robert Smith signature. But yeah, just a touch too much.
Yeah, it's a lot of dough for, quote unquote, something a little different.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, speaking of guitars that cost a lot of dough, Naomi, you went to visit your homeland recently, and on your travels, you checked out a rather cool vintage guitar shop over there.
Absolutely, I did indeed. So I made it home to Dublin for a few days, finally, now that travel is becoming that bit easier. And I made sure to drop into a wonderful store that's been dotted around close to one another locations, but they are in the city and they are called Sumneck Guitars. And the reason I wanted to give them a mention this week is they've been going a while, but they are a fantastic spot for all sorts of weird and wonderful vintage and used instruments. So I don't, as far as I know, I don't think they've ever delved into drums. So it's guitar, bass and amp. And then a wonderful selection of used and new, but boutique pedals. So set up a while back by a man named Owen, who has been putting the work in, to just consistently have, like, I've literally never walked into some neck and not seen a veritable collection of instruments I've never heard of alongside all the classics you'd hope to see. And even in your browsing, you saw a bass that took your fancy, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, dear listener, check them out, someneckguitars.com. There's some fantastic stuff on there. But in the bass section, there is there's a Wondra Etrurian bass from the 60s, which is extremely cool. Committed listeners will remember me talking about Wondra guitars a few years ago when we were doing Brand of the Week every week, and I was always picking some weird, like, 60s, 70s brand, mostly brands that made things out of Reza glass or aluminium or things like that, and certainly Wondra were one of the most notable, most interesting and awesome companies to make that sort of thing. So there is this Wondra Etrurian, which is kind of almost looks like an upside down flying V with curly horns. So
yeah, I'd say it's not upside down. You mean back to front?
Back to front, flying V meets SG.
Yeah.
Incredibly weird. It's like the even weirder cousin of some of the old Ovation basses.
Yes, completely agree. Yeah.
And then it has like a slotted headstock as well, just to make things even cooler.
It is very, very weird that, I mean, without wanting to sound completely naive, but it's very weird that these instruments were being made in the 60s. You know, this doesn't, you just sort of think of, I guess it was a bit mad, you know, the kind of template for what an electric guitar or an electric bass was hadn't, to a degree, it had been nailed down, but like, just something like this just wouldn't get made anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know, but that's the time that excited me. I mean, the problem is the same thing happened with cars. You know, since cars have been made in wind tunnels, all cars look the same. Like, there's no difference. And back then, people would make things. We've become obsessed with ergonomics and functionality, and no one cared about that in the 60s and the 70s. They just wanted to make things look cool, and that's why guitars looked like this.
Yeah.
And that's why cars look the way they do. And now, the most popular guitar, you know, a couple of years ago that we were raving about, the Charvel DK24, which is a strap with extra playable bits. You know, we're obsessed now with making everything contoured.
Ergonomic.
And I flipping love something that's hard to play. And
you certainly do.
This looks like a proper effort, so I'm really in. I love that it's got like a Formica scratch plate, you know.
Like, true, yeah. I mean, yeah, just about everything about it, bar perhaps the neck, is weird. Yeah, it's I would argue it's certainly a lot harder these days to break the mold, given everything that happened in the 60s with body shapes. There was actually a guitar in the store that really, really caught my eye as well. It was a Fender finish I'd not seen before. It was a beautiful, let me see, can I find it? Here we go. Yeah, it was a Custom Shop 50s double bound Tele in Candy Tangerine Relic. And it pinged off the wall. Absolutely incredible finish. I didn't pick it up because I hate myself as a guitarist, but I can imagine it would have played absolutely beautifully.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. What a finish.
Yeah, absolutely. But to stand my usual corner, it's a wonderful store for basses as well as guitars. But I would say just about any guitarist would walk in there and leave in a puddle of their own drool. There are always always some beautiful, beautiful bits of candy. There's always a few Nash guitars to be found in there, which I'm a huge fan of. There was a wonderful Tyler in there as well. I think it was a 2007 Tyler, Studio Elite. And There was another bass as well. Let me see.
I was just having a look on the bass section. There's a really cool early 80s 4003 in Fireglow, which looks amazing. Like the finish is kind of fake. Generally, a lot of the Rickenbacker finishes I sort of struggle with because they're often very, I don't know, they're just often very stark, I think, is my issue with it. Like Maple Glow, I've never really got on with because I just think it's too... stark is kind of the best way I can think to describe it. And I feel like that with Fireglow a lot of the time as well. But this looks amazing. Like the finish is clearly seeped into the wood a little bit. And it just looks a little... I don't know. Just looks really, really cool. Really nice. Really nice.
I agree. I think Fireglow can look a little bit tacky, like whether it's on a Gibson or a Rickenbacker. I've always found it a difficult colour to kind of get on with. You know, I think they look nice enough in person, but I certainly wouldn't want to wear it. But this looks lovely, just the way it's aged.
Yeah. The aging on it is really, really cool. Really nice.
There you go. Nitro paints will always do that. But... Mm. Yeah, I mean, the collection of stuff, once again, dear listener, someneckguitars.com. There is some great stuff on there, a lovely 1963 double cut Gibson Melody Maker. I'm a massive fan of the single pickup version in the bridge. Oh, what a guitar. And the double cut, it probably is the best thing. Probably the best thing Gibson have ever made. I mean, there's a Koa Gretsch Penguin. That's ridiculous. I've never seen anything like that before, with all gold hardware and appointments. Looks absolutely fantastic. You know, I just think consistently the range of guitars here is quite amazing. And kind of stuff that's a bit off the beaten track as well. George Fedden, who I've never heard of. There's an George Fedden acrylic Strat. I could definitely get behind that. That looks rad. And Jay, you pointed out something to us just before we started recording that was on this site. Was it a Melobar 10 string from 1972?
Yeah, very weird. Very, very weird. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about that brand. Melobar W. Smith.
Introducing the KMA Machines Guardian of the Worm. An incredibly flexible, ultimately shapeable high gain distortion and noise gate for guitarists looking for complete control over their drive tone. Fader-loaded double foot switch effects unit features three separate clipping modes so you can find the tonal foundations that are right for you. A simple, high-performance Blackma VCA-based noise gate with the option of an external trigger input for noise gate control. A highly configurable 4-band active EQ with variable center frequencies, 3 distinct types of high mid control for tone shaping, an effects loop between distortion and noise gate for signal chain flexibility, an internal control for input filter signal trigger source and noise gate response, and relay-based soft switching with variable gate switching modes. This is a comprehensive distortion shaping tool for those who want complete dominance over their tone. Check out the Guardian of the Worm by KMA Machines at kma-machines.com.
Yeah, it's totally mad. It's got, I guess it's, is it neck through? I think it's neck. I can't work. Wait, no. Oh, is it a...
Is it a lap steel?
It's a lap steel, I think, yeah. Yeah.
I also spent a good minute looking at the photo going, what is...
It looks
unusual lap steel, I think.
Well, it's
an
a lap
angle,
steel
perhaps?
That has like a proper guitar body, so it's easily confused. I kind of wish it wasn't a lap steel.
It's super weird. I mean, it's so to describe it for the listeners, imagine a kind of, I don't know, like one of these sort of future retro guitars that we talk about a lot. It's got a bit of an offset type shape to it. But then imagine that you are 8 years old and you've made a ramp for your remote control car, and you have stuck that on top of this guitar body and then strung it up. That's what it looks like. There's just a remote control car ramp on it. It's really weird. Yeah,
that's an incredibly accurate description.
I just really want to superimpose that description into a business meeting where you're designing a new product or proposing a new product. A particularly good analogy. I enjoyed that.
But it really is. It just,
I'm not saying you're wrong, by the way.
No, that was. But that's why I looked at it, and first I thought it was like neck through. I thought that the neck had just been sort of stuck, like the wings of the guitar had just been stuck onto it. And then I thought, no, it's just the shadow is looking really weird. And then I realized, no.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It's a remote control ramp. It's a car. Remote control car ramp. Wicked. Love it. Absolutely love it. All four.
Nailed it, man. Absolutely nailed it.
But yeah, what a great range of stuff. Like loads of brands that I haven't heard of. Kithara guitars have the Astral Signature, which is a T-style guitar with a really gorgeous like two-tone headstock on there, and a lovely sort of tiger stripe scratch plate in a what's the telly called when it has Gretsch pickups? Quick, someone, and that scratch plate shape. Come on.
Cabernita.
Cabernita. Thank goodness.
You're right, Joe.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember the word and it was annoying me. Yeah, Cabernita style scratch plate. That's very lovely. The Chub Tone.
Chub Tone is without doubt the best brand name I've ever heard. absolute Chub Tone.
Stop laughing, guys.
That is how I want people to describe my bass sound. I've got that real good Chub Tone. That is wicked. I'm into that.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a custom shop guitar, which, you know, is designed to look like it was made at home in that it has two empty, it's a super strat with two empty pickup cavities in the neck and the middle, and then a big old sort of humbucker mounted right in the bridge, right up against the Floyd Rose, with a sort of a half scratch plate. You know when you get those scratch plates where people don't really want a scratch plate on the guitar, but there's a big cavity hole, so they have to put a scratch plate over a very small amount
of
it.
The barely there look. I'm into it.
Exactly. But yeah, what a great shop. I bet you had a fantastic time there, Naomi, checking everything out.
Absolutely. As with any visits home, it was a little bit of a flying visit, but I certainly wanted to make a point of dropping in and seeing what they had in there. And the good news is, even though they're physically not a huge store, it's a nice cozy little spot tucked off kind of one of the main streets in the city. They're very active online, so wherever you are in the world, you can certainly check out what they have in store.
Very cool indeed.
To pause on that for a minute, did you get a chance, were you like out and about? How was kind of the music scene? Were there bands playing when you were like out in town and stuff?
When I was there,
has it sort of kicked off again?
Do you know what? So I was there from the 3rd till the 8th, and the next step in sort of the country reopening occurred on the 6th of September.
Okay.
So it was a funny time to be there. So interestingly, since being home, I've seen some wonderful footage of some festivals. And I mean, just a quick fair play to any festival organisers who've pushed ahead with holding festivals in Ireland in September, because we don't have the best weather in the entire world. I think the weather universe has looked kindly upon the country for this late sort of push as things reopen quite slowly. So didn't get to see any live music, no, Jay, but I think Ireland is probably sort of heading towards where the UK is in terms of gigs being reopened. So yeah, it was definitely a shame, because it remains one of the best countries in the world. I try to say that unbiased, but it's such a fantastic country for live music and creation of music in general. So certainly on my next visit, I'll be timing it around some gigs. And Joe, in a few months' time, I believe you're playing there as well. So
yeah, I would look forward to that at the start of next year. I completely agree with Naomi. Ireland is an absolutely fantastic place to play music and to go and see bands as well. Dear listener, wherever you are in the world, if you can, you know, ever, if you're in a band and you ever, if you're thinking of places to tour, Ireland is definitely up there as a really fun, awesome place to go, and it has some fantastic venues. What's the name of the one in Galway that I love, that I always pronounce wrong?
that's the Roisin Dove. Is
that's right.
Translates to Roisin Black or Black Roisin. I wish I knew more history on it to sort of give to you off the tip of my tongue, but I'm not that Irish that I can sort of, you know, just recount niche history. A wonderful venue though, like definitely one of my favorite venues outside of Dublin is the Roisin Dove.
Yeah, and just an incredible town that seems to kind of gear itself around the gigs that are happening often in that venue, you know. It just feels like there's such a community spirit there for the live music that's happening, and I think that's what makes it such a great place. And you can say that kind of whether you're in, you know, whether you're in Dublin or Maynooth, you know, they're all the communities for live music are fantastic there. So
yeah, if you think of the sort of international cliche of the Irish absolutely loving pints and loving drink, that's about 40% as much as we love live music. So there's a wholesome cliche to take with you from this episode.
I played at the Roisin Dove once. I remember exactly when it was. It was in February 2008, and we played the same day that Spurs won the League Cup against Chelsea, 2-1 with a Jonathan Woodgate last minute header in injury time.
My goodness, you must have been hammered when you were playing.
The thing is, like you say, like, oh yeah, it's such a great place to play. Oh, it's such a great town. I don't remember any of it because it was absolutely blotto. But it was wicked because the Irish football legend Robbie Keane was playing for Spurs at the time, and so we were against Chelsea, who obviously are the enemy, the worst team. And with a pub that I was in, there was like me and a couple of other Spurs fans, then there was like two Chelsea fans, and then everyone else was a Robbie Keane fan. So it was just such a like a wicked atmosphere. Really, really fun. But yeah, then we got absolutely blotto and I don't really remember anything. So
nice.
I'd like to go back to Galway though, because my mum's family's from not too far from Galway, from down that way. So I'd like to go back at some point.
Yeah, you definitely should. All I'll say about that sort of football support is our Irish football fans are absolutely amazing at in a positive way hopping on bandwagons. So like pretty like the Robbie Keane thing's a perfect example. Like in the Euros this year, when was it Denmark played England in one of the matches?
Denmark played England in one of the matches. Yep.
Yeah, and
we won, by the way. Just you know.
Oh sure. Okay. Well,
just a point. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I remember that week in particular. All of the sort of memes and joking and humor from home was like everyone sticking Denmark flags onto their Irish flags. and like hurriedly hitting add to cart on Denmark shirts. And then for Italy v England, everyone was like editing the word Ireland to Italy in as many memes as possible. So a bit of healthy competition never goes amiss in Irish sport.
We didn't win that one.
I know you didn't. That was
a tough day.
I lost a lot of money that day.
Oh dear. Well, I didn't mean to bring back traumatic memories.
That's okay. Now, I wanted to talk about Music Nomad and Music Nomad's care equipment, because I think like a few years ago, me and Matt did a video about some Music Nomad gear, and I want to kind of go into more depth about all their stuff next week when I have Matt Knight back, because I know he uses a bunch of their stuff. But I was talking to Rand, the owner, the founder of Music Nomad, and he's a really lovely man. Naomi, I think you did. Have you had dealings with Rand as well?
I haven't. Also, no. What I did do was I checked out the website, and just, I don't know. I've always, Joe, had a huge love and interest for accessories and how they can just sort of wholly improve your experience as a musician and creator of. And I was super impressed by his/their website.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he just seems like an absolutely awesome fella. And he sent me a bunch of their stuff, a bunch of their tools. But I just thought the story behind Music Nomad was so cool, just because they started off as kind of more a community than a business. And I think as Rand, as someone who was part of the industry, was getting hold of as much of the kind of guitar care equipment that he could find on the market. And he essentially decided he thought he could do, you know, a better job and make a higher quality of equipment, of care equipment for musicians. And that's kind of what bore the Music Nomad care range. But just as a company, they do loads of things with charities, like a percentage of their profits go towards loads of kind of loads of music based charities. They also have things in place where they help out large groups of musicians just through their own community. And outside of like Music Nomad Care, which is musicnomadcare.com, they also have musicnomad.com, which is a complete resource for bands and fans as well, that's kind of designed to help musicians. And, you know, Rand totally understands that being a musician is something where you're kind of, you know, you're left there on your own. There's not a lot of support there. It's a really tough industry to actually carve yourself a niche out of. And so they set up this website to allow bands to allow musicians to do that. And that could be anything from it's essentially thousands of organized resources that help bands to do anything from like find a van to book a tour. And they rank different organizations so that bands and musicians can get a better idea of who's going to help, who can promote or market their music.
That's absolutely fantastic. Like, I'm sure yourself, I'm sure both you guys can find some relatability in that there's so much that you kind of have to learn along the way, sort of by word of mouth, sort of by who you know, and that there's a community that he's sort of helped to create to sort of help musicians on along that path with that level of information, I think is really fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. There's even like a part of it called My Tour Manager, where it can help completely plan and map out your tour.
That's amazing.
It's really good. Smart. I thought it's such a lovely thing for, you know, you think of kind of maintenance tools, a relatively small kind of unsexy accessory in the guitar world. So I just thought an amazing thing to actually offer alongside your core products is something, you know, he really cares about the community. And I think that's an excellent thing. And that's something that, you know, makes me want to get involved in them as a brand, and it, you know, obviously really helps that all of their stuff is really good. But they even kind of, they try and develop and think about the system of looking after your guitars and to sort of demystify all the stuff around guitar maintenance. You know, it's something that's very locked out, you know, to techs and luthiers, and the average guitarist maybe doesn't know their way around their instrument so well. I mean, you know, you have it all the time on most guitarists, I don't think, are even comfortable making a neck adjustment, really. And it's because, all of that side of things is so locked out to techs. So I think it's wonderful that they really try and make it easy to do and give you all of the information. So the resources are there to guide you as well as having the actual tools to do the job. And they basically developed their own system, which is the KISS system, the Keep It Simple Setup system. And they do a whole kind of a bundle which will give you your gauge set, your tech tools, your truss rod wrenches, things like that, and a little 24-page guide as well. There's a whole bunch of other stuff which, you know, I'm gonna talk about with Matt over the next few weeks, but I just think their stuff is really good. I was a big fan of, you know, their truss rod wrench set actually has all the sizes you need. You know, not just Fender and Gibson, but all the weird sizes that you might need for a 1976 Greco, for example, which is very helpful to me, particularly.
Yeah, I've got. I was looking for the right truss rod adjuster for. I've just bought this Wandra Eritrean.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, their screwdriver set has all the hex keys as well, which you would need if you bought a Fidelity, for example. So just really cool, really thorough, really wonderful products. And like really great to be working with them because they make fantastic stuff. So Music Nomad, dear listener, check them out, musicnomadcare.com, for all their, you know, their bits and bobs. And musicnomad.com, check it out for sort of help booking tours and just information and resources. It's just a wonderful little community there.
Do you know if... what came first?
I think now I'll ask Rand to double check, but I was watching a little like video where he was talking about it on the website, and I think the community came first.
I was gonna say, because it feels weird that the stuff that's being sold is under the longer website name.
Yes, yeah.
You know, that's the thing that made me question that. But yeah, really, really cool, really interesting.
Yeah.
As someone who you know, spent a large part of my 20s basically the entirety of my 20s putting on gigs, nobody knows how to be in a band. Nobody knows how to be in a band. They're all useless, and stuff like this would be very, very useful. Just you know, just like, just showing up on time, just making sure that you've got the right gear, and if you don't have the right gear, just let me know more than, you know, 3 hours in advance of the show, that sort of stuff, you know, really, really, really useful. So it seems like Music Nomad has all of that covered. So yeah, into it, very cool.
Yeah, I was going to say the same things, but not in such harrowing words as yours, Jay. That was really wow. You really love to encourage people. I'm just messing with you. But no, yes. Like it's yeah, just to kind of develop on what I was saying in terms of, like, you know, having to pick up stuff by kind of word of mouth. I think it's wonderful.
Right.
Anyone who sort of can contribute in the sense of lessening the time span that you need to get from sort of beginner amateur to sort of middling experienced, and yeah, just really kind of push everyone to kind of be more efficient in their work. Because like you say, you know, there's implications to not having the right gear for a gig, for example, or there's implications to turning up without an amp. And assuming that that's going to be a given at every DIY show that you play, for example. And the same with like guitar care. I mean, I think so many of us players have simply gone and bought a new instrument because we thought our current instrument wasn't working for us, and really some perhaps basic maintenance care and tweaks could have maybe shortened that journey a little.
Yeah, absolutely. They are very cool indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about a little bit of news. I can't remember who said, Naomi, I think you sent this to me, or you sent the base of this to me the other day, but I think someone had already mentioned it to me on Instagram, probably Joe Puttick, because he tends to send me everything weird he ever sees. And this is suitably weird. I am, of course, dear listener, talking about probably Gear of the Year 2021. Arguably the greatest guitar ever to be built. I'm talking about Verso. That's right, versoinstruments.com, or just check them out on Instagram as well, dear listener. These things are absolutely ridiculous. So we're talking about I guess the idea behind Verso guitars is, well, firstly, that the body is a folded piece of steel. So the pickups, being magnetic, are completely movable anywhere on the body. But this also means you can do things like add a second pickup, and maybe instead of having two pickups above and below each other, you might want them side by side, one pickup dealing with low strings, one dealing with high strings. Maybe split them like a P pickup or something like that. But they are suitably absolutely bonkers. Reverend Guitars have kicked off 2021 with their first ever S-Type guitar. In true Reverend style, this cracker of a guitar features classic looks juxtaposed with modern electrics. Introducing the Gil Paris GPS signature model from Reverend Guitars. Whilst on first glance, the pickup arrangement looks fairly standard for an S-Type. In fact, each of the single coils is a Fishman Fluent single-width pickup. These can be switched with a push-pull tone control between two voicings, a vintage voice, the classic Airy 50 single coil sound, and a hot Texas voice for a hotter, punchier, more modern alternative. Check out the GPS and all of Reverend Guitar's mouth-watering models at reverendguitars.com.
I mean, these are definitely one of the most innovative designs that I've ever seen from a guitar company. It is the thing that I really like about it is because it's made from one solid piece of folded steel. It's like freestanding. You don't need a guitar stand because it's just you can just place it on the ground and it just stands up
because it just sits there like an actual sculpture.
Really does. So if you're trying to, for people who, you know, are trying to bridge that gap between art and instrument, I guess they have done a modern art and modern instruments. I think they've done a really, really good job of it. I haven't seen the price anywhere.
Well, they do a few variations, but the Cosmo Standard, which is their normal one pickup version, starts at €16.65 in euros. That is, these are made in Germany. But there's also the Cosmo Plus available, which starts from €19.90 in euros. And as I'm sure Naomi will talk about in a bit, there was they've been prototyping a bass as well.
Yes, they have. I'll be honest, when I saw the Instagram account sort of just appeared on that sort of explore page, as many cool instruments do, and I'll be honest, I had to look at several posts to really convince myself that it wasn't just a concept.
I wasn't sure if it was real at first.
The company and the designs are actually so aesthetic, you would be forgiven for at first being a little bit perhaps cynical of them. But the more I kind of...
Yeah, your Pinterest page has become self-aware.
Exactly. Urban Outfitters 2021. But no, really genuinely, the more I read and the more I looked, and then when I actually checked out their demo videos, the gentleman, let me find his name again, things I should have researched, Robin Stumvel is his name, the designer and luthier. Just really thought up a whole universe of design for this instrument. It's like it really is so considered in every way. In the demo videos for the Cosmo and the Cosmo Plus, the player actually while playing, picks up the pickup, you know, and holds it facing back at the strings toward the body.
Okay.
Yeah, and moves it around all over the body while playing. So not only do you get a good demo, but it's actually just sort of a way of playing that I've, a way of incorporating your pickups into your playing that I had never seen before. And that's on top of the already nice things about the instrument, the sort of ergonomy, I like that word, of the body. It sits nicely on the knee. Some people who perhaps, like myself, have struggled with their right arm, if you're right-handed, over the lower bout of the body, it potentially has a much easier effect on that because it has this sort of flat left-hand side, again, on the right-hand models. That up as far as the connections. So I believe, Joe, you could correct me on this, but I think between the Cosmo and the Cosmo Plus, I think the Cosmo Plus is the stereo model.
That's right.
And the Cosmo is the mono model. But in terms of connections, it could even be by mini jack. You can swap out the pickups, literally no soldering, barely even any fiddling around with clips. It's literally just like a jack cable to swap out the pickups. Finally, another thing I really liked about them
to swap out whether you're going stereo or dual mono, you mean, with the pickups?
So your output can be stereo or dual mono, but you can purchase the Verso pickup separately after you've bought your instrument. So you can change up your pickups further down the line, or I'm sure you can order additional pickups with your instrument.
Gotcha.
And should you choose to swap them out for single coil or for humbucker or for one or for two, you can you simply unplug and plug in.
Right, I see. Yeah. Okay, cool. Very cool.
Yeah. The only other thing I was going to say was the options for finishes on steel as an alternative material are amazing. Now, this one, I'm actually not sure if it is a concept or perhaps it's a prototype, but it's not on the website. There's a base model called the Gravis, which was teased on the Instagram, and it's in a rough matte bronze powder coating, and it looks absolutely stunning. The pickup cover is wood as well. Fascinating, really fascinating.
It's entirely kind of like a matte chocolate finish with the gorgeous grain on the pickup and the simple bridge. The bass is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's a 27-inch scale, which is an extremely short scale for a bass. That was the prototype anyway. But they're also very, very honest on their posts about the Gravis. Their prototype bass is great, but they weren't quite happy with the sustain on the low E. And of course, you know, this is going to be a problem when you're making steel as well, but I just mean 3 inches shorter than what would be considered short scale. You know, that's, you're going to come up with some issues there. So they said they're going to try again and make it, make a 28-inch scale version at least. And they're going to see how they go there.
So I guess they're just using the same body. That's why it's so short.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess
there's only so long you can make the neck.
I mean,
I'm saying that as if I know what I'm talking about when obviously I don't, but like...
I think you're right. I think part of the, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, being anti-ergonomic. This obviously is ergonomic gone wild. Everything about this guitar's designed to be an absolute player, and so I think it being pint-sized is probably very much part of its thing, its vibe. I think if they were to make it a sort of a longer scale, it might, you know, might not be quite right for the type of instrument that it is. But
additionally, all of them, just going further into their attention to detail, all the models appear to ship with mono bags and leather straps as well. So I feel like no corners have been cut in the design and production of these. And as you say, Joe, I always have admiration for any creator willing to be open about the bumps in their creative process, as he was in his post about the bass. Thought that was very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, super cool. Premium price point. A real premium price point. Like, I wish you know, I wish they were 700-800 euros less, just because it's such a punt with something this different.
Yeah, I don't know though, man. I mean, it feels to me like, so they're about 1400 quid essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I guess it is a punt, and I wouldn't buy one without trying it, I guess, at that price. Would you do it at a grand? I mean, you know, if you're saying 700 quid cheaper, like, yeah, sure, you do it at 700 quid, but like, I don't know. I understand why they're that much money, because it is so different, and the kind of running costs that go into doing something like that. But
no, you're absolutely right.
I feel like
right.
The money's
honest,
okay.
The money's fine. I was thinking in euros. I was thinking pounds and euros. I wasn't thinking about the exchange rate there. These are actually less than I thought.
Yeah. So if it's, what was it, 1600 euros?
Yes.
Yeah. Starting at,
So yeah, it's like 1400 quid.
Yeah, that's very reasonable. I mean, that's still, you know, whatever it is, that's about the same amount as, you know, a Fender Professional, I guess, now.
Yeah,
so, you know,
yeah.
And so I'd say that's kind of a reasonable standard amount. And especially when you think you're getting something. I know it's not custom-built luthier in quite the same way when it's a folded steel body, but it's still something that's very much custom-made for you. Incredibly cool. Yeah, very cool. Lots of time for those. Kind of reminds me of Millimetric. It's along that same sort of
vein. Oh yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
and those are sort of styles that you don't really see. There's one other brand that's similar that's name that escapes me at the moment. But is that is this a new movement in guitar style that we're seeing, these sorts of things? I know we can only think of the two, that this one and Millimetric at the moment, but it's like this whole other area of guitars that's not retro, it's not super modern, it's not metal, it's not a big jazz hollow body, it's art guitar.
Yeah, it's a good point. And like you, I can't pull many names beyond the two that you've just mentioned, but I think sometimes it can be hard to see a movement in the present. And for me, I know it's like, you know, is this because I found myself more tuned into small and boutique and startup brands since lockdown, since I've had like more time to spend on socials and kind of browsing brands. But yeah, I certainly agree, Joe. I think there are some wonderful sort of concept instruments like this, and some far more concept body shapes than we would have seen maybe 10 years ago. Another brand is Brute bass guitars. Are either of you familiar with Brute?
No, I am not.
Oh, okay. Well, I would say let's catch up on it. I'll send you off to check out Brute's socials. Another UK-made, UK-based, UK-made luthier and designer. Cool.
Well, maybe we'll talk about them over on the Patreon potentially.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, we can. Yeah, but that's just another name that springs to mind in that repeatedly with, you know, each new build that they post, you go, oh, that's a body shape I've never seen before, but it looks a lot like art. I'm intrigued.
Very cool indeed. Yes, yeah. Well, we will discuss those over on the Patreon, where we're going to be talking about rigs for tours, bands we're playing in, and music plans for 2022. I'm also going to talk about my exploration into vinyl wrapping guitars.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're going to do. And also, you know, dear listener, don't forget, at the moment, you've got the opportunity to win a Positive Grid Spark with Guitar Nerds. You've just got to visit positivegrid.com/guitar nerds. You can enter there to win. That finishes at the end of this month, so you've got a couple of weeks left, so you know, please take advantage of that. I've been having a great time with the Positive Grid Spark at the moment, and I've actually just kind of popped it on my desk now, and I have it permanently plumbed into my computer setup, so that I can now just it's kind of USB'd into my laptop, and when I go to record something, I can just select it as the interface and use my phone to choose all the tones and everything. And so as a almost a plug-in alternative, I'm accessing all of those Positive Grid tones via the Spark itself. And it's absolutely fantastic. There's an awful lot of Positive Grid Spark content out and about on the land of the internet. Most of it is people just making rock and roll sounds with it, or people being like, hey, this is a great example of it doing a high gain sound. Here's it doing a Fender-esque clean. It's that sort of thing, because, you know, most people are better guitarists than me, and they're very conventional. But one thing I've really enjoyed doing with it is making crazy, effecty soundscapes with it, and I've been incredibly impressed with the weird tones that you can get out of it. So at the end of this podcast, you're gonna hear a little bit of hear what I've been able to do with just a Positive Grid Spark, because it is a fantastic tool, and you know, they're like £200, you know, it's well worth it to make weird sounds like this. Now, that is all the time we have on this week's Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, join us on the Patreon over at patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. The dollar tier gets you this episode ad free and early. $5 gets you access to the Patreon special episodes and our back catalogue. $10 gets you the lot, and I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. Find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Thank you and goodbye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.